Well, it's good to see you this morning. We're glad to be together. Man, what a great time already just to worship and to say, God, you're great, you're amazing. Jesus, be the center. I love that song, and that's really the idea that we're going to be pursuing for the next few weeks as we talk about this series, Elite Life. But before we jump into that, I want to say welcome specifically to a couple of people. Lammy and Stanley are here from the EFCC. Would you just say welcome to these guys today? We're glad you're here today. So this is the umbrella organization that we're underneath, and so we don't have guests from EFCC very often. We're glad you're here today. Also, we have a pretty big crowd for Team Emily. If you're Team Emily, you came from South Africa, we got Omar right here, we got Mariki, we got Carl, we got uncles, we got all kinds of people right here. We're so glad you guys are here, and we're so happy for what God is doing in little Emily's life. And so, man, actually, for you guys to know, this is all Team Emily. Okay, we're cheering for her. Can we praise God for what's happening? Just to give you an update, so almost a week ago on Monday, she went into surgery, six days after she was born. And my goodness, and so they do this major surgery and they have all these different things they're doing and every second is like, okay, now what? But the surgery went, the procedure went as planned. Without going into too many details, they weren't able to close and finish everything like they expected, and so they waited a couple more days until she stabilized, which we're thankful to God that she did stabilize. Then they were able to close, and then it was a little scary again. But as we stand here this morning, we're getting great reports that she's getting stronger and she's healing. And so, man, what an incredible blessing from God. Can we just pray together? Yes, praise Him. And let me just lift up a praise. Father, we say thank you for the life of little Emily Erasmus, and we thank you for what you're doing even now in her body. Lord, it's already been prayed. We lift her up to you, and we thank you for what you've done, for what you have ahead. Lord, we don't know how many minutes or seconds any of us have. But we thank you for what you're doing in Emily, and that we get to see you at work, this incredible creation, these bodies that can heal. Wow. You are good. And so we praise you and we thank you this morning for the blessing and the grace that you pour out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so we're starting a new series called Elite Life. And as I've been thinking about this series for years, literally, I thought, okay, what's the best word? So it could have been abundant life, but that's overused, right? People talk about that a lot. So abundant life now. It could be best life, but somebody's written a book about that already, so I can't use that one. So I was like, okay. At the time, we were living in a place with a bunch of soldiers, all right, a bunch of military guys. And so I was thinking about, okay, what is it that military guys think about? And so the word elite, because you'd have these elite forces, right? So okay, elite life. Now, I will say that as I was beginning to think about this series several years ago, the congregation, the crowd, was a bunch of really young soldier-type guys, okay? Sometimes they weren't educated. Sometimes they were very educated, but sometimes they were young and they were just newly married, and so they were, you know, it was easy for me as almost 40-year-old to say, hey, here are some good things for you. But now, this is different. Everybody here is highly educated, super smart, and so I'm like, oh, I gotta be a little more on my A game with this elite life business. But what I'm excited about is it's not what I have to say, it's what God has to say about life, about what He says life should be like and how we should live it. So whenever we look at the word elite, what thoughts come to mind for you? When you think about elite, maybe you think about the military thing, and these are the guys from Britain, the SAS, British Special Forces. I've heard the best in the world, better than Navy SEALs. Like, okay, all right, I don't know. Either one of them, they could take me out really quickly, so it doesn't matter, right? But maybe you think when you see the word elite, maybe it's the special forces, some kind of really high elite military group. Maybe it's a business person like Steve Jobs, he seems to be ahead of everybody else. Or maybe this guy here, Jack Ma, right? Just like, whoa, how did he do that? Or this guy. Where does he keep coming up with this crazy stuff? It's just this business, this idea, this innovation, elite, just in a different league, right? Or maybe you think about political leaders like this guy, just different, just better, just wow, a great leader. Maybe Julius Caesar. Oh, If you're a historian, you think about him for sure. Okay, one of the great leaders of all time, one of the elite. Alexander the Great, from a military standpoint, just was doing things nobody could figure out. Unbelievable. Or maybe we just go to our kind of not-so-intelligent answers and think about athletes, right? The elite guys, those guys that are just better than everybody else. You know, the soccer or football players, right? Basketball. And in the U.S., we're thinking about basketball season. It's going full and strong. So there's a debate over which of these guys is the best, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, we call him, right? And pretty clearly, it's the guy in the middle, but, you know, there's a debate, right? And then American football. Oh, wait, who cares? We'll keep going, right? So it's been a little difficult being here and realizing nobody actually cares about American football. You know, in America, we thought it was a big deal. It's just not. But whenever you think about elite or these guys that are better than everybody else, you think about some of these Olympic athletes. You know, the one on the right there, how many gold medals does this guy have, right? How many times does he get to stand on podium with the number one underneath it? The guy on the left, right, this Jamaican lightning bolt. Okay, he's just so fast. And every time you see one of these guys in a competition, at the beginning, you already have an expectation of who's going to win. Why? They're just better than everybody else. It's like it's not fair. It's not fair. It's like everybody, who's going to be second? That's really what we're thinking. Who's going to be the first loser? Because this guy's going to beat you if he's in the race. They're elite. They're different. They're better. And so that's the kind of life we're talking about. But now we're saying, okay, so elite, but let's put the two words together, elite life. Okay, so if we have a life that is elite, this, whoa, better life, this different life, what would that look like? Well, maybe it's about, for you, you think about money. If I'm going to have an elite life, I'm going to be really, really rich. I mean, really rich. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you don't have to work anymore. You just go on vacation all the time, right? Pilots, you get half of that life now, right? Half of the time you're on vacation. Maybe for you to have an elite life, to be a person who has this life that's better than everyone else, it has to do with fame. And lots of people like, wow, you're so great. That would be elite for you. Everybody has their own idea. Maybe it's having a schwank house with this. To me, this doesn't appeal. I'm worried I'm going to break something, right? But maybe for you, this would be, if I had that, then I've arrived at elite life. Maybe for you, it would be some kind of extreme adventure, climbing Mount Everest, right? If I could climb Mount Everest, now that would be elite status that I would finally attain. Maybe your own business. If you could own your own business, that would be, okay, now I've made it. Or writing a book, that puts me in a category above everybody else. Winning a Nobel Peace Prize. You know what we're saying? What does it take? Maybe you have to be able to afford having your nails done like this. Now, some of you guys are like, wow, I really know. I'm sure you don't, right? But here's what we're saying. Whenever we say elite life, we're talking about just a better life, right? It's better. It's higher. It's different. It's different. It's not like everybody else's. And whenever we walk through these different things, maybe some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, that's impossible for me. I could never be one of those soldiers or one of those leaders or one of those entrepreneurs or have that kind of wealth or that kind of status. It's impossible for me to ever make it to that place. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I couldn't ever have that. But what I'm excited about this morning as we open this new series, Elite Life, is that this life that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is available to anyone. Anybody can have this life. Whether you're 8, 48, 88, you can have it. It's available to anybody, to anyone. And that should encourage you, saying, okay, hey, I think I like this. Let me see if I can illustrate this point. So at the moment here, I have in my hand some money, Hong Kong money. I'm still learning how this works, really. I have to always do some math, you know, trying to figure out how much is this, really. So I have, this is Hong Kong 500. And this is not a ton of money, right? Hong Kong 500, some of you are like, 500 is like $2. But some of you are like, ooh, 500, hey. Wouldn't mind, right? I mean, whoever complained because they found an extra 500 in their pocket, right? So here's 500. Now, to illustrate this, what I want you to know. So Hong Kong 500, I have it here on the stage, or whatever this is, right now. But this very 500 can be anybody's in the whole room. Anybody can have this in the whole place. This could be yours right now. Or now. Okay? I don't know if you hear what I'm saying or not, but this is available. This 500 could be yours right now. The only problem is it's in my hand up here. But if you really wanted this one could be yours right now. I don't know if anybody's going to be brave enough. It's here. Here come three. There she is. There you go. Thank you. No, it's not mine. This is Luame's. Give Luame a hand. Good job. I saw two other people coming, so good thing you were on the front. I was worried for a second nobody was going to care. I was like, maybe I should have gotten 1,000. I don't know what I have to do to get people to move. Now, in my pocket, and I'm kidding. Here's the cool thing, though. I can't do that all day, all right? I can't. But you know who can? God can. He can. He could just boom, 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 boom all day. You want another one? Here's another one, right? Because it's all his. And we're talking about this elite life. It's not impossible. It's available. You see, most people, they just won't be brave enough to come and get it. They won't leave their seat. And why? Why don't we go for this elite life that God is offering to us? Why don't we take the path? Well, because look at all those other people. Surely they can't be wrong. Look at all those people going on that path, and that one guy, whoo, I feel sorry for him. He didn't get the memo. Someone didn't tell him where he's... No, he's the only one who gets to experience the amazing life. The little tagline below there says, few will find it. Few will find it. And it's such a tragedy because it really is available to anyone. If you have a Bible, you can open to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I have it here on the screen as well. And this is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about all these amazing things, and he talks about this life, and he says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says this, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to what? Life. And those who find it are few. What does it lead to? The road that leads to? Life. And those that find it are few. Why is that? And I think about what is it that keeps us from getting out of our seat and going to pick up the 500 off the person's hand. Like, I don't want everybody to think, right? Well, I don't really need it that much. I really don't. Maybe you don't need it. That's fine. But what is it that keeps us from going down the path? The one that God has for us. What is it that's holding us back from this life that he's offering? Now, again, to clarify what we're talking about when we think about this life that Jesus was referring to that few will actually find, let's clarify. Now, whenever a person is laying on the ground, okay, they're out, and you come up, if you've learned first aid, there's some things you're going to check for to see if they're alive, right? Okay, so if you know first aid and you come up on a person, how are you going to check to see if they're alive? First thing? Breathing is one of the things. Very good. Someone's been to first aid, all right? Are they breathing? Okay, that's one indicator of whether or not they're alive. What's another indicator? A pulse or a heartbeat, right? If their heart is beating and they're breathing, usually we think, okay, this person's alive. Breathing and heartbeat. Now, unfortunately, there are times, especially in a hospital situation, where a person is being helped in the breathing and the heartbeat, but they check for one more thing to see if they're alive or not. You know what it is? Brainwaves. Okay, so breathing, heartbeats, brainwaves. So they may have breathing, they may have a heartbeat, but the brainwaves are not there, which means they're gone. Okay? And so that's this indication of physical life, right? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about breathing and heartbeat and brainwaves. No. We're thinking about presence of God. We're thinking about connection with God. That's the life that we're talking about. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." I've come that they may have life. See, the enemy wants to take away from you. And so many times we believe his lies. And we go down the wrong path. We believe. And so we go the way that he leads us to. And we forget about the life, the abundant life that God is offering. So I am really excited about this series in case you can't tell. Okay, so elite life. What is it that God wants for us? And it really is hard to share with someone else. I'll be honest with you. It can be difficult to talk about with someone who hasn't been there yet. You know, whenever you go back to wherever you're from, you know what I'm talking about. Almost all of us are expats, right? Whenever you go back to wherever you're from, you're trying to tell your family, your cousin, whoever it is, about Hong Kong. You're trying to tell them about Discovery Bay. You can show them pictures. You can tell them, but they just can't get it, right? You've tried. You're like, okay, there's people from all over the world. It's like this, and their eyes glaze over, right? And then they nod politely, but they're not listening. They can't grasp it until they come here and see it. And it's the same with this life that God is offering. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's really difficult to just tell somebody about this amazing spiritual connection with God, this life with God, without people seeing it for themselves. And so what we have to understand is, hey, you know what? Few will find this life. Few. I mean, there's just one guy on that path. Few will find it. Now, I have good news for you, okay? In just Discovery Bay, 20,000 people. In Hong Kong, 6 million plus, I'm told. So if everybody in the room here chose this path, that would still be few. So you can all choose it, all right? It's not just for four or five of you. It's for all of us here. I'm inviting, God is inviting, the Spirit is calling all of us to choose this path, to choose this way. It's like, okay, all right, nice warm up. What are you talking about? Well, let's just see if we can get practical a little bit and let me show you your life. There it is. Some of you are thinking, aha, now it all makes sense. I knew it. I knew it. This is your life, okay? And in the middle of your life, there's this, it looks like a backward lowercase h. It's a chair. That's what it's supposed to be. And we'll call it a throne, okay? Now, in your life, there are different things. Like, you've got this job, or maybe you go to school sometimes. Now, a few weeks ago during the identity series, we talked about the lies the enemy will tell you about who you are. And there are three main ones. It says, you are what you do, you are what you have, and you are what people say. Okay, so as I put these different things up here, I'm going to ask you which one of those three it would fit under. Okay, so now you have to really think. You thought everything was going to be easy? No. Now you have to think, all right? It's Sunday, and I am, yes, asking you to think. Okay, so the job or school piece, which one would that fit under? Yes! You're brilliant. I'm scared. Okay. You are what you do. The next one here. Friends. What you have. If you have friends, then you're good. If you don't have friends, oh, things are not okay. So we have friends in our lives. All right, the next one here. Health. What you have, you're good. You are what you have, all right? You have stuff, possessions. That one's easy. You are what you have. Okay, some of you are with me. Some of you are like, oh, wow. We'll let the smart kids cover all those, right? Hobbies, the things that you do for fun. What you do, all right? These are the things that I do. And so if I do the cool things, that defines me. I'm a good person, right? Family, what you have. If you don't have it, oh, I'm not okay. Reputation, what people say about you. A spouse, maybe. What you have. So some of you don't have some of these different things. I don't know. But basically, our lives have these different things going on in them, right? Okay. Are these bad things? Not necessarily. Can they be? Yes. Incredibly at times. Right? And so it's nice to come to church sometimes and say, you know what, I'm going to have this elite life. And then we leave and we walk out the door and we have to talk to our children. We have to talk to our spouse. We have to go to work. And we're like, okay, that and this, they don't match. How do I put those together? And that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks, is saying, okay, these things in our lives and this elite, amazing life that God has for us, how do we put those together? How do we walk through this and say, oh, I see. Here's what God wants for every part of my life. This is going to be so fun. Okay, now, there's something on the throne. There's something on the throne of your life. It may just be the two letters M-E. Maybe you are the boss, and you're controlling all these things, and it's about me, in case you can't spell, all right? So, I'm the boss of my life. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your job is the king, the ruler of your life. I don't know. But there's something on the throne, and we'll talk about that more going forward. Okay, so, but we've been trying to understand, okay, we have this life, and we want to move forward in our relationship with God. So how does that work? We have this continuum we've been talking about for several weeks, and here are the different parts of that. And so we have, at the very beginning, people who are exploring Christ, all right, on the far side here. They don't know Jesus yet. They're still asking questions. They're thinking about him, right? Then you move over to the next one. You have growing. They've now become a Christian. They've been born again. They've asked Jesus to forgive their sins. They've trusted in him. They know their eternity, but they're still babies as far as their Christian walk. Then you have the next step over, people who are close to Christ. Now, Christ is a big deal in their lives, okay? He's starting to really influence basically everything, but not quite everything. There's a few things that we still, we've got to keep that. But then finally, over here on the far side, you have those who are Christ centered, where he really is everything. Everything else revolves around him. He's truly the king. He's the center. He's everything. So how does this work with our lives? Okay, well, first, if this is your life, if you are growing in Christ, I'm sorry, if you are exploring Christ, he's outside. He's not inside yet. Okay, so the idea is Christ is up here somewhere, right? Here's Jesus is over here. And our lives, all the things that we're doing, are all in here. Okay, all these things in our lives, we're all in here, right? And he's out there, it's like, okay, that's interesting, but not right now. I'm doing these things. I'm busy. I'm checking this all out. Maybe someday. No, not today. Keep checking it out. That's the people who are exploring Christ. But then, praise God, there comes the day where we say, you know what? I do believe. I believe that Jesus is who God, who he said he is, who God said he is, that he is my Savior. And so instead of Jesus being up there, now Jesus comes down and he's in our lives. And by the way, just to be clear, he doesn't move, we do. Okay? Just to be clear, he's a lot bigger than we are. All right? So, but just for the sake of the illustration, we'll put Jesus now here in our lives. Okay? So now we're growing in Christ. And so he's over here. Now we still have these other things that we're doing, right? All these other things, cool, nice. And then every now and then we come over here and have some Jesus time. Yeah, cool, that's fun, right? But I'll be back later. I need to go do these things, all right? So now we go back, we do these other things. We're enjoying all this. It's kind of like having a Jesus t-shirt. Whenever it's clean, we wear it, right? And it's kind of fun. But then when it's dirty, it goes in the laundry. We might see it in a few days or months. Who knows, right? Every now and then we come back to it and we enjoy that. But then let's go do something else. It's a Jesus t-shirt. We're growing. But he's there. Praise God, he's there. But then moving forward, now we get close to Christ. So now this is bigger. So the Jesus section is a lot bigger. And we come over more often. It's like buying stock in Jesus. I'm checking this one every day. I want to see how that's going, right? So now Jesus is a bigger part. And so we spend more time and we look at the things around our lives, talking to Jesus about them. But we still leave. Okay, I'll be back in a little while. And we go over and we take care of some of the business, right? Well, yes, we have stock. How's it going? Good. But I'm still doing these other things on my own. Close to Christ. Okay? But then finally we get to the place where we are. Oh, wait, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed, whenever we're close to Christ, the things are starting to be organized differently, aren't they? Did you notice? Things are moving around. Things are being changed. And that's how it should be. That's how it will be. But then finally, whenever we are Christ-centered, Jesus is on the throne. And we never leave this spot. all those other things, they can come here if they matter, because we're not leaving. This is it. And all of it revolves. In fact, all the organization of this comes from Jesus. He's the one who's deciding. And we talk to him. We say, okay, is that what you want? Okay, that's what's going to happen here. What about this? Okay, there. And we're not running around and doing it ourselves anymore. It's all with him. You see this? And this is advanced, right? This is the ones who are really moving forward, which can be all of us. It can be any of us. It should be all of us. I'm so excited about this series. I believe God's going to do incredible things in our lives as we invite him. No, as we go to him and let him be the center of all of us, of everything, every single one of us. I hope you'll take the journey. Galatians 5:24 says this, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the idea. Whenever we get to this place where we're Christ-centered, you know what? All of that, I don't care about it. It's temporary anyway. I'm going to enjoy my time with my Savior because it's forever. So we lock in and we say, you know what? All the old stuff, crucified, I'm focused on him alone. Okay, so how does this play out? Well, whenever we did our prayer series a couple of months ago now, we came back and we looked at the whole thing and we summarized. Okay, remember, so the first petition, hallowed be your name. More than anything else, we want to glorify you, God. We want to glorify you. How does that happen? Well, we want your kingdom to come. If his kingdom is coming, that means he's the king. He's the one calling the shots. That's what we're talking about in this Christ-centered realm where he's ruling all things. He's the boss. He's sitting on the throne. And so we say, your kingdom come. In every area of my life, your kingdom come. You're the boss, you're the ruler, you're the king. And then what happens? It's so nice. He guides us forward in all the small things. Your will be done. You're the king, so now your will be done. On things like what? Our daily bread. Whatever you want. It's your will. We're going to follow your will. So whenever he's the king, we follow him for the small things. How does he become the king? Well, you look back at P2 prime, forgive us. So here's what's happening. Whenever we're saying, Christ, you're the center, every now and then, he's going to say, I want you to deal with something this way. And we have a choice. We can say, forgive me. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me, and we make the change. Or we can say, oh, I need to change that. Let me get back to you on that. And we leave. And we come over here. And we enjoy whatever that is instead of letting him be the king of it. What is ruling our lives in that moment? Not the king anymore. Not Jesus. This thing that we wouldn't give up. It has become king. And so forgiveness is whenever we say, I was wrong. And I want to submit that to your leadership as well. And then finally, we say, lead us not into temptation, because we know we'll mess up. All the time, we're making mistakes. And so this is not easy. It's not easy. It's all the time. It's not a one-time event. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just one time say, Jesus, you're the king of all things. You're the king of my life. Done. Wouldn't that be nice? But that's not how it works. That's not the way it goes. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, it talks about this ongoing struggle. And Paul, this is the apostle Paul. He says this, for I do not understand my own actions. What do you mean, Paul? You're an apostle. It's like, I don't know. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So it's this ongoing struggle back and forth. We put Jesus on the throne, and then something else comes up, and we take him back off, and we put something else there. We put me back on the throne again. And so it's this ongoing battle back and forth. I think about kids playing King of the Mountain. You ever played that game? Oh, it's a great game if you're big. So that's what's happening in our life. Who's going to be the throne? Who's going to be the one leading? Who's going to be the one that's the boss? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think, gives us some help on this. Romans 12, 1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So here's the answer on this struggle. You kill yourself, not like suicide, please, no, right? You kill your own desires. He says, a living sacrifice. So all the things that I want, all the things that I think I need, and there's that word that gets us in so much trouble so many times, I need it. No, you don't need it. You really want it, but you don't need it. We kill all of that. A living sacrifice. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, the problem with a sacrifice, so you put it on the altar, right, and you kill it, and it lays there because it's dead. But a living sacrifice is always wiggling and trying to jump down and run off. Right? Think about your kid trying to change that diaper, the nappy. They don't want their diaper changed. They want to get off and run, right? That's us, a living sacrifice. So it's constantly trying to get down. No, today I'm going to die to you again. I'm going to kill my own desires, kill my own thoughts about myself and what I want, and I want what you want. This living sacrifice, that's the answer, but it's not easy. And so he gives us another verse that helps us. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow the path that everyone else is following. Don't do what they're doing. Instead, what should we do? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So do you see what happens? Whenever we say your kingdom come, truly, your will be done becomes clear. We see what step to take in our school. We see what step to take in our work. We see what step to take in our marriage. All these things, these specific things like daily bread, become clear. Once we say, your will be done, whenever we have our lives as a living sacrifice, he will guide us in the specifics. We can know his will, but it comes as we are a living sacrifice, letting his kingdom come into our lives. So here's the framework we're going to be going through. So here's this circle. It's our lives. It looks a little bit better than just a white circle, but still the same thing. So Christ at the center. When he's at the center, here's what will happen. He will shape our identity and our perspective. That's why we had to do the identity series before this. Okay, but whenever we have Christ in the center, he will tell us, this is who you are. I see you as fill in the blank. And whenever we begin to see that, it changes how we see everything. Our perspective is different. We view our relationships differently. We review our responsibilities. We review even our recreation. Those are the next three areas that we'll get to in this. Basically, everything in our lives fits in one of these three categories, I would argue. Our relationships, our responsibilities, and our recreation are the things that we do for fun, right? All of it fits in one of those categories. And whenever we have Christ in the center and our identity defined by him, it will influence every part of our lives. So we have two sections for each of these that we're going to go through. Just be really, really practical as we talk about what is it that he wants for us. And then whenever we have that all in the right place, the last one is the outer blue circle, which is our mission. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. What is our mission? Again, it's what we were put on earth to do. And whenever everything's in the right place, then God will work through us and work incredible things as we follow him. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's for next week. So you're thinking, okay, Danny, this is weird stuff. It's kind of heavy. I don't know. Think killing myself, dying to my desires. Sacrifice, that doesn't sound very fun. So let's just relax for a second. And I want to take you back to a great place. I want to take you back to a moment. Maybe it was the first time, or maybe it was recently, but I want you to go back in your mind to a time when you felt the presence of God in a powerful way. Think back to that time. Maybe it was when you first trusted Christ. Maybe it was something very recent where you saw him move in a mighty way. But every one of us, think back to that special time when you had an encounter, you felt the presence of God. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about that.
Okay, so as you are thinking, as you are remembering that encounter with God, give me some words where you can try to describe what you are feeling. What was it? Warm? Peace? Joy? Assurance? His arms are around you. Hope, love. Chills? Are these bad things? No. No. This is what he has for you. And we think, oh, you know, if I sacrifice myself, that's going to be really bad. Whose voice is saying that? The enemy. We know from experience, if we've had an encounter with God, it's amazing. We have peace and we have joy and we have hope and we have love, we have assurance, and tears run down our face and we don't even know why. But it's just like, wow. And that's what he has for us. What we're talking about here is not bad. It's amazing. It's good. Don't run away from it. Don't hold it off and think later. No. Get as close as you can. Bring it in. Let his life invade yours. I love this verse, Galatians 2:20. I love this verse. Look at this verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time when I read this verse, I get this feeling like, I'm crucified with Christ. Now Jesus is living in me. I'm going to be a good boy now, right? You know, in fact, that's one of the things that they say that men don't want to go to church. You know why men don't want to go to church? This is an amazing book. It says why men hate going to church. And one of the things it says is because we've told men to be a good Christian, you got to be like a nice lady. Always behaving yourself, never saying anything mean, being gracious and kind and sweet and nurturing. And we've said, okay, so that's the idea. I'm crucified with Christ. Now it's Christ who lives. Okay. I can't have any more adventures. I can't have any more fun. Nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing against the ladies. Ladies, I can't understand you, but you're amazing, okay? By the way, you're the pinnacle of creation, okay? So just to prop you up a little bit, God made man. He said, I can do better. Watch this. All the men agree, right? Amen. Let's hear that masculine amen.
Amen.
Your wife will, yes, okay, good. But seriously, we get this idea, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm dead, Christ is living in me. Man, it's over. Good times are gone. Isn't that insane? Who is living in me? Christ? Let's talk about Christ for a second, can we? Oh, it's gonna get good. What did Christ do when he was on earth? He healed. Somebody couldn't even walk, and he raised them back up. A person couldn't see, and he touches them, and now they can see. A person had leprosy, he touches them, and they're healed. A person was dead. No heartbeat, brain waves, nothing. He brings them back. That's Jesus when he's on earth. What did he say to people whenever he was on earth? Words of life, words of love, words of peace. What about whenever he was out in the storm? Remember when he was in the storm? The guys were afraid they were going to die. What was Jesus doing? Sleeping in the boat or on a different storm. He's walking on the water. That's Jesus. That's Christ. Who could be living in me? Whoa! Who made the world? It says that Jesus is the one that spoke it into existence. He's the one that mouthed the words, let there be light, and boom, there was light. That's Jesus. And that could be in here? Are you kidding me? What would happen? Oh my goodness, what would happen if Jesus was living inside of us? You see, here's what happens. For that to take place, this guy, Danny, has to be crucified. And I think that's bad. But I just need to have a very short memory to realize, no, that would be great. Because this guy does dumb stuff all the time. All the time. You know, believe me, ask my wife, ask my kids, ask the people on staff with me. Ask, you've seen me. But I can lay this guy down and Christ can take his place. Are you kidding? Really? What would happen in my marriage? What would happen in my marriage if the words my wife heard were the words of Jesus? What would happen in my parenting if the words and the actions my kids heard and saw were the words and the actions of Jesus working through me? What if I went to work and it was Jesus going to work? Wouldn't it be different? Seriously, think about your own life. If you went to work tomorrow and the actions that came out were those of Jesus, would people notice? Oh, yes. And it would be amazing if Christ would be in us. Do you see how this life is so much better? And it's available to every single one of us. It's available. If we'll be Christ-centered, if we'll allow ourselves to be crucified like he was, he's done it. And allow his life to be in us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And if we'll release his power and goodness all the way through every part of our lives, wow, the life of Christ all around us. I'm telling you, if Jesus came to live in Discovery Bay would be different. What if 100 Jesuses came to Discovery Bay? Wow. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about happening. The world would not be the same. I've used the illustration before, but I think it's so good we'll do it again, right? Iron Man. The mini arc reactor was first put in to keep him from dying, to keep the shrapnel from killing him by penetrating his heart. But then there was a nice side effect, superpowers. So maybe you accepted Christ to save you from dying forever in hell, which he does, by the way. And if you haven't accepted the gift of forgiveness and life forever in heaven instead of in hell, I invite you today, receive Jesus. That's a great reason to receive him as your Savior. But the cool thing is, you don't just get to live longer on earth, you get to live forever in heaven. And in the meantime, while you're on earth, superpowers. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I believe this morning there's some people who need to trust Christ for the very first time. You need to say yes. Jesus is holding out his hand saying, come on, I'll save you. And so today needs to be the day you say, save me, Jesus. Save me. Let me pray for those of you who are in that spot. Lord, I pray for these who are exploring Jesus today, that today will be the day that they receive the forgiveness that you offer, that you died, that you shed your blood to give, the forgiveness that you want to pour into their lives. May today be the day they say yes to Jesus. I believe there's others in this room, and as you're remembering back to that moment, that time, that season when God was moving your life in a powerful way, you said, man, I want more of that. And so I invite you today to put Jesus on the throne of your life. Be Christ-centered. Don't let the job, the family, the worries, whatever those other addictions, the fun, the hot, whatever they may be, those other things, push them aside. Let him be on the throne. Let him be the one who is ruling and reigning and bringing his kingdom and his will and his life, his power into you and all around you. And so, Father, we come to you today confessing we're so weak and we're so easily persuaded and distracted to do the wrong things. And so we need you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we want you to be the center, to be the king. We want to have you on the throne of our lives. And so Lord, I just pray right now for people that you are healing right now. You're breaking chains, addictions, distractions,
old wounds, old hurts, old fears, you're taking them away. And I pray for this elite life, this different, this better life, where you are reigning and ruling. May you guide our words, guide our thoughts, guide our actions, not for our glory so that we can have fun, but I thank you that it will be fun and we will get to experience amazing things, but Lord, for your glory, we want to lift your name high. So Father, do a work in our hearts today and every day going forward with the days, with the minutes that we have left. May they be yours. We pray this in Jesus' powerful, beautiful name. Amen. Would you stand together and continue to worship? If you have a question or you want us to pray for you, I would love to catch you. We'll be up out in the lobby later. Let's stand together and sing. Okay.